Okay, over to you, Raghunath Prabhu.
Yes, can we start?
Yes, Paul. And
Okay.
it's already recording.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Second day of this meeting with Bhakti Maharaj. And there is many we can start with the questions and answers. Then I was already communicate with the devotees. Then first question is from Mahasankarshan Prabhu, please your question.
Hare Krishna, dear Maharaj, thank you for opportunity that we can listen from you, your knowledge.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You yesterday mentioned or explained that if there is no Gurukul or any other kind of Vaishnava school for kids, they can attend common Karmi school if they are head there and parents show them then after school or during the holiday. This good example and give them nice. However, the problem is the association with karmic kids, they do not behave properly and very soon they start with illicit activities, if we can say it like this, smoking and talking about sexual life and so on. And it is possible for parents only to protect child by their association and teaching proper values, or if there's something more, then only parents by what child can be protected from bad influence. For example, I was thinking about if we do of or if we follow system of samskaras, if this is also good start and child have a good or proper nature.
Yes. So, you still there or you froze?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So
It's good.
basically, I mean, the one on you mentioned about samskaras, that's something that should be happening anyway, right? Means that the families, then the 10 samskaras, that's just a standard thing that when they come up, then the parents should be taking care of those. Now, of course, most of those are happening by the time that they're 1 years old, but all these things from the time of conception, like that should be performed. Then that's just proper part of family life. It's not like it's a additional thing, like you have ice cream if you put a cherry on top or not. That's just part of you eat, you breathe, you do samskaras. It's just part of the thing. You can say we're devotees, we're transcendental, but then why are you creating a relationship based on bodily platform, engaging those bodies intimately, and then growing another body that then someone is taking birth in? So at this point, we have to appreciate that. These kind of comments that being devotees, we don't care for all these things. That means, no, don't say we're devotees, we don't care. Just say, I never grew up with these things. My parents never did these. No one from my karmic background did this. That's why I don't do these things. It should be very clear. Anybody saying we're devotees, we don't need samskaras, leave out the word devotees. Just say, I don't believe in them, I don't do them. That's like saying, oh, we're transcendental. We chant Hare Krishna. We don't have to follow the four regulative principles. You understand? So samskaras are just as much part of family life as getting married. Otherwise, if you don't believe in samskaras, why did you have a marriage ceremony? Right? You understand? So the point is, the samskaras are very much part. Prabhupada talks about it all the time. right? So just on that platform, the samskaras, that's something we would always be doing. Now, the other thing is that what it means, from what I understood before, we were talking about smaller kids. If we're talking about older kids, then that's another thing. But your best thing is that the children don't have to go and hang out with the karmis. It's never going to be good, because especially teenagers, they're going to take more input from their associates at school than they will from the parents. That's just guaranteed. The smaller they are, then they may take more influence from the parents. But as they start hitting like from 11, then from that point, unless they have a very strong relationship, they're always going to take from their peers at school. So then I don't know if you have there, but you have things such as homeschooling, or a few parents can get together and try to do something with their kids, you know, put in a little bit of time. Put in some, you know, pool resources and try to do something between them. Find a devotee who they know how to deal with kids and that, get them together. So then in with that group of parents or with that parent, they can come and teach. And then those parents should try to, you know, properly reciprocate with that, whoever is teaching or involved, so that they can take care of themselves. Otherwise, as we saw in the beginning, you know, the first question, you know, what do we do, you know, how do we deal with the real world and maintain ourselves? People are so worried about that, they don't care actually about taking care of anything else. So that's the fun thing. Oh, well, I have to be practical and take care of myself. Isn't it practical to also take care of the teacher? You have someone coming over, or you take your kids there, or whatever's the arrangement, that's, you know, up to you. But then that person has to be taken care of. You can't say, oh, no, we're devotees. You know, why we have to pay? Oh, this is karmakanda. Why are you doing this? You should do everything for free, even though I'm going to go out and work hard at a job, make as much money as I can. These kind of things we have to be very careful about. I'm only mentioning these things because these are things that devotees say. Right? I'm not making these things up. You know, somehow or another, it's just expected everyone will do everything for free, but at the same time as you'll maintain yourself, and at the same time as, you know, you're going to, you know, how you say, do something valuable and dynamically Krishna conscious. And so one has to be realistic and see a balance on how these things are going to work. Because the point is in the community there, you must have some devotees that are good with the kids, and they can be engaged to keep them busy and learning things. If you can do it yourself, nice. It's easier if you get together. That means more people involved. It makes it easier. And so like that, you create your own school. Why do you have to wait for a big institution to come up? Does that work?
Yes, so we are thinking like this actually, that we can pay for some devotees, because some devotees here have also, they learn how to, they are teachers actually.
Okay, so then that's that. So you and some other parents get together, try to work out something, and then, you know, how it'll work, how it'll be done, but try to cooperate. That's the important thing. If everybody's just looking what's going to be best for me, then it'll never work. You have to think what's going to be best for the kids, you know, that group, and so what can we do to facilitate that, you know? So there has to be a cooperation. As Prabhupada mentioned, individuality is a very important part of Krishna consciousness, because we are individual souls, so we as individuals are going to have our understandings view of things. But we have to then, how well we cooperate with each other, then that shows how much we're interested in following Srila Prabhupada's direction, right? So that kind of thing, it's really, really important. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if everybody's just worried about themselves, then you'll end up just worrying about yourselves, because no one else is going to be able to work with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
The next question coming from Mataji Vidarbha Kanya. I asked her if she can do this question.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Please accept my humble senses.
So,
I'm mother of two kids, and I teach them 5 hours in the day.
But
Krishna consciousness teachings takes 1.5 hours, but 3-4 hours takes what they have to teach from government. So
right.
I don't know how to deal with that, because Krishna consciousness teaching should be on the first place.
First place means it doesn't necessarily mean volume. First place means that you see that it's going there, it's there, and it's going nicely. So if therefore it takes 5 hours, it takes 5 hours. I mean, that's pretty good. For us to make our curriculum work, then it takes 12 hours. You know, because you also have to have the kids going washing their clothes, cooking lunch, doing all those different things. But the academic times, then it will be like that. I think we do 4.5 hours. Like that. So it's not volume that makes it more important. Right? See, why is it, okay, now 1.5 hours and you're getting good effect? Because Krishna consciousness is natural for the soul. Right, it's something that they've always, you know, that the soul has that nature. And learning the Vedic knowledge, you could say in all our lifetimes we've probably learned Vedic knowledge more often than we've learned, let's say, Czech language, right, or English. This lifetime you're learning that. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So these things may be harder to teach because they're less familiar for the soul. Well, Krishna consciousness, that's something that the soul naturally can do. So I wouldn't worry about that. If the government says you have to do these curriculums, you do those curriculums. If you want to be able to have the freedom to you know, have your own training, you have to follow what they say. Because if you don't, then they have, you know, other ways to deal with this stuff, and that's not exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that your country allows that, that's very good. I don't know, like before, I don't know about now, but Germany will not allow homeschooling. You have to send your kid to the schools, right? So that that's there, then that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it takes an hour, you know, 1.5 hours for Krishna conscious stuff. That's great. Because you have to remember is that Krishna conscious training is going to be going on outside of the classes. You know, how you're dealing, how they're taking prasad, they're talking, how they're walking, how they're playing, how they're interacting with others. You know, all that. So that's going to go on all during the rest of the time. But that 5 hours, that's when you're sitting and studying material.
Mm.
You know, and then that gives you, you know, another, whatever it is, you know, 7-8 hours that you have Krishna conscious ways that you can introduce how they're sitting or how they're speaking or how they're doing these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And
She wants some attention. Just put your arm around her or something there. You don't have to be, you know, the tough mom, you know? Because I don't look at my daughter, I'm more Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
You know? You understand? Because that's all it takes. They're cool, you know?
Okay. And may I have one more question? At what age to separate girls from boys at the school?
If you're doing something at the home and that, then you can do, depends on the kids, but generally you would say is 10,
mm-hmm.
would be the general age, but latest by 12.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes when you have a new community or new kids, see, basically the point is if who you're dealing with in that they're just kids, they identify like that and they're dealing, then you can have it go later.
Mm-hmm.
But generally you see the older the yatra, the earlier you have to separate them. You know what I'm saying? So if the kids are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, just doing the service, they are respectful, they're humble and all that, then you might find you can take it to 12. But if you find that there's any of these behavioral difficulties or this or not respectful or like that, then better at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise at 11 they tend to get a little bit, you start seeing the beginnings of the adolescence, that the ego comes up and they don't care and stuff like that. And so then it'll be easier to separate, because then girls you can deal with in one way, boys in another way.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. One more question. How to teach children if we have more children of different age in the class? Because now we have, for example, my children are 6 and 9, and then comes another which will be, for example, 6 or 5 or more. I don't know how to teach, because I'm just only one teacher there.
Right.
So
One
class.
Yes. So it means that there are certain things, like let's say Krishna conscious things. Let's say you're telling stories or you're reading from Krishna book or whatever it is that you're doing. That then they can all sit there. But just when they do, they sit the smaller ones right in front of you. And then the bigger ones can be behind that. Because the smaller ones, when, as soon as they go look this way or that way, you just touch them and then you have their attention again. Right? And then also then for work, then everybody's doing their own work. So you have them all sitting there and they have their work, and then you give them their work, and then they start to do. You see the next kid, go back to that kid. You just keep moving around between them, seeing how they're doing the work. So each one has their own work. You know, like if they're learning handwriting, someone's just sitting there and doing their exercises or things, and someone else might be doing this or that. Or, you know what I'm saying? And any comments that are general, you say it to everybody, and who's not, you say it just to that person. Does that make sense? So if it's just like that, there's only like 3, 4, 5, you can do that easily. As you start getting bigger, then you can also have that those bigger ones, they can start teaching some of the other ones some of the stuff where they're good at, or they can ask them questions. But then you have to see that you give time to those older ones, that they get their class time, you know, in that subject. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're doing 5 hours, then you might, it means if you can get it in during that time, then great. If not, you spend some extra time with them, because they can help with the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can look up like one classroom teaching methods. It's a very developed system, because previous to, let's say, very recently, that's how all classes were done.
Yeah.
Because in reality, kids are of different age. See, that sometimes it's being taught, well, how do you prepare the kids for the real world? Where in the real world do you ever have a scenario where everybody that you're working with is exactly the same age as you and from the same neighborhood as you?
Mm-hmm.
Where? Absolutely nowhere. So that's what they teach the kids to do. So everyone in the class is 9, or everyone is 12, or everyone is 15. And so that means if you're 15, everyone below that is a small, stupid kid, and everyone above that is a big, stupid kid. Well, if they learn all together, they learn how to interact, how to deal, you know, how to take care, how to be respectful. So even up to now, there are some schools, though the government, of course, tries to get rid of them, is that the what do you call it? That they run in this way, and it's they've been run. These are schools that have been running for hundreds of years. You know. So it's just a standard method. So you can look up and see if you have any information there about that. But otherwise, previously all schools ran like that. You have a teacher, and the local people would send their kids to that teacher, and some other teachers, the other kids over on that side would go to that teacher. It's only since you have the government schools, the state school, that then you have everybody there and they're all in there and everything like that. But previously, that's not how it worked. It actually did just work at that, or the community had a little place they put together, and then the teacher's there, the community takes care, they teach all the kids. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There's some questions, and please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can I ask a question? Narakriti here.
Yes, please.
Accept my humble obeisances. So, in our community, temple community, we have a kind of arrangement that you mentioned, that we have in the temple a school, there is a teacher, and she's teaching 4 days a week. 4 hours,
okay.
And we have simultaneously Krishna consciousness and this state curriculum.
Right.
So children quarterly, they just do the test with a state representative, and then they get certified completely,
yes,
like in a normal system.
Yes.
And for us, at the moment, I was asked to ask you a question as a challenge, that we have one girl, our girl, 10 years old, and boys who are 7, 8, 5, like few boys, and she's the only girl in the community. And regarding the further, like a vision of education, considering the nature, it's a little tough to her, for her to be with the boys all the time. But for now, we're managing. And we are just wondering the direction we should go in the future regarding the school and her education also.
You can see is that if you can, it means involve any other people, then they can also then be involved with her. But I'd say since all the kids are small, then she can be in that same scenario. The point is when you have boys of that age, then that's when your problem starts. Right? Means, but if she's older than them, then it's not really going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, unless the kid, when he comes, you know, unless the kid's karmi name is Casanova, then you don't have to worry about it. You know?
Yeah.
So therefore, I wouldn't worry that you can just see as how you sit. The teacher's a lady or a man?
Lady.
Okay, so just she would, the lady would just sit her over next to her and have the boys like that. Mm. Or have her behind and have them in the front. Somehow or another, there's a separation where they can't, you know, pinch and poke and stuff like that and harass.
Yeah, yeah.
There has to be physical, yeah, just see there's physical difference. Teacher's sitting here, she's older, she can do her work, she sits here. The okay. boys sit here. Or if she's mature enough, since she's 10, she can give her the work, she goes, sits over on the side, and then the boys sit there, because there you're going to have to, you know, put in the effort, because they're, you know, for the boys then, harassing each other, doodling on the paper, and trying to get the teacher's attention. These are full-time engagements for the boys. You know, learning is an extracurricular kind of thing for them, right? So therefore, then give her the work. She can sit on the side and that and that and that. And if need be, then, you know, when they go and play or something, she can sit and then teach them like that, or, you know, something. You just have to be clever, that's all.
Okay.
Use your brain, figure it out, you know. like that. You know, and if in the future you get some other girls, then you can see if you can get a second teacher, then they can deal there, someone else with the boys.
Yeah.
Because the girls you don't have to yell at, boys you do. You know, because they're always being crazy and trying to get attention and stuff like that. You know, so it's just natural. You know, and depending on the teacher, how expert they are in dealing with that, then they'll have more or less problem with that. Some have more problems, some have less.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Chaiho.
Hare Krishna.
But it sounds like what you're doing is good, and if it means if you have facility, you do something big, but it's not necessarily important. You just have... Just as time goes, there's more kids, there's more people who can teach. You just have more and more of these little groups, you know. And then, depending on how it is, the government person can come around, test them all at once, or test them one at a time, or however it's done. But you can also have them in the groups because then, you know, they develop the relationships and all this. Having something necessarily big is not that important. The important thing is if the kids learn. You know, so if you have people that can work with big groups, that's great. We had a teacher once, his parents were both teachers, and they were ones that developed curriculum for the state. And so they were very good. He could sit there with 30 kids in the classroom and have no problem. You know, but you have other teachers, they have four or five, and they're always busy trying to keep them, you know, keep their attention. So you just, how many people someone can deal with? So you don't make a rule, only five kids. That somebody can deal with 20, someone can only deal with two, you know, like that. You see what they can deal with, right? But two will be a problem because they'll always be fighting who's more important. It's like Shaligrams, never keep two. You can keep one or you can keep three, but not two. It's the rule, Pancharatrik rule, you know. Is that okay?
Jai, thank you.
Okay, very good.
Hare Krishna, Sankirtan Prabhu, your question.
Okay. I had a question a little more connected with yesterday's topic, with Narakriti Prabhu's point, and this is regarding the brahmacharis. Today we usually get new brahmacharis from the street or from preaching to karmis, and we are not... But we should get also from the devotee families, the boys. But usually the boys, they have to go through the basic education. So they finish at the age of 14, for example, and their parents want them to go for secondary education or college that takes another 3-4 years or maybe more. And at that time, or till that time, they are not very fixed. They are at home and they have all their smartphones and internet and YouTube and or other things, and they develop a lot of desires different from Krishna consciousness. And even they are willing to, they could be willing to join ashram in the age of 14, 15. Later, there maybe they lose this desire because they develop different other desires because of that kind of life they are living. So. One question is, how the devotees who have children can understand these points or relate to them? And the other point is regarding our temples to be actually prepared to take young boys in the ashram, because it's not the same as to take like 25 years or 20 years old boys who come directly from the street.
Okay, well, the younger boys, then you have to have someone who's dealing with them and taking care of them. They need their own facility. They shouldn't be mixed with anybody else. It means as far as, let's say if they're staying overnight, they have to have their own facilities. I wouldn't mix them in with everybody else. But, you know, during the day when you're doing activities, you're doing the, you know, temple programs or cooking or cleaning or things in the you know, around the temple, that they can do with everybody. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you have to see is that someone would be kind of taking care of them during that time. Now, you also have the aspect of, okay, maybe they won't be in the ashram full time, but maybe they could come on weekends or, let's say, during school breaks or everything like this. Does that make sense? You just have to figure out when would be times that they could get some exposure, that they could get some experience, that they would appreciate it, and that, and then you can build on that. But the point is that in these things, you're just going to have to work out with what works. So if those kids will come, you can get them at whatever age, then it's nice. I've heard of temples, but you know that they have programs that, you know, they come for things during the day. They stay at home, but they come in the day. They might come in the morning, stay until the evening, you know, or even, Karmi kids who are going to school but are interested in Krishna consciousness, they come and spend some time on the weekend, you know, maybe come and stay overnight at the temple like that for a day and follow the program like that. Or when they have school vacations, you know, breaks and all that, you know, midterms or Christmas or that, they come and spend some time at the temple, do some services and that. And so like that you do, or summer vacations, they might come and spend. And then when the school term comes back up, they go back to their classes. So you just have to think, what are the ways to expose them? The main thing you have to think of is how it is that we can give these individuals an opportunity to be involved in some Krishna conscious association and activities. And so if you can come up with something that works, you know, because you have to see in your community how it works, how they think, how they like that, then you try to make something happening. But if, you know, then great. If not, then you just continue with the more mature brahmacharis. You know, because the more they're trained and everything nicely like that, then they're going to, many of them at some point will become grihastas and all that, and you'll see if something else will come up there. Does that make sense? You just have to see. Main point is, think about less on what people should be doing, and think more on what you could do to kind of like create something that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Because everyone being individuals, then, you know, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. But you make a nice program and this and that, people hear about it, then they want to come. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because yes, it should be a certain like this, but as we know, things aren't necessarily always ideally the way we would like them to be. So therefore then, you try to do with what you have the best you can. And if the brahmacharis you have, they're all inspired, they're all these things, then that's very nice. Then you can expand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, like that. Because otherwise, you know, we have so many things that are said what to do, but you have to make a distinction between there's the Krishna conscious aspect and then there's the cultural aspect, right? And so then, we're trying to encourage in both these things, but basically as much influence you have, that's all the more that you can kind of put any kind of, have influence. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, people are into those things. You have more influence. You can try to be more involved. They have less interest, then you have less involved. You go where there's the least, resistance in compared to maximum return. You know what I'm saying? And that means people becoming Krishna conscious. It's not about numbers. It's about just how people are becoming Krishna conscious. So it's just use your brain, how to find things and ways to get people involved, and then you can expand like that. You know, because your situation, where you are and the people around and what they do and all that, then you see different things. Like I remember, I think it was, I was in Hungary for one of their festivals. And we were doing something, and there was somebody there, and got into a conversation. He looked like he was, you know, I got the idea kind of in his mid, late 20s or something like that, maybe early 30s, I can't remember. And, you find out he's got a 2-week vacation, he's there, but his wife's not. She comes at another time, or she I think what it was is he preferred to come to Hungary for their programs, his wife preferred to go to Radadesh for those programs. Sometimes they would go together to programs, sometimes they go separately. So somehow or another, for them and in that kind of scene and in that country, it worked. You know what I'm saying? So some countries, you can do different things. Does that make sense? It's different. Like, let's say in America, you know, it's like they have to do everything together. Right? So they'll want to do things that they can both do together at the same time. But I've seen a lot of times when you have more of the old world kind of things, you know, like I remember, I think it was in one temple, we went with a family to the temple. When they got to the temple, it was a big family. You know, there's like, I think, you know, mother, father, and they may have had the grandmothers there. Then they had, you know, the different kids of all different ages, you know, some in their teens, some at school, you know, like this. They come to the temple. Once they got to there, then they all went off to wherever they went in the temple. Right? And spent the whole time there. They were there for the whole program and, you know, afterwards and prasad and doing services and that. And then at the end, they all come get back together and go back in the car and talk about what a great time they had, you know, doing Krishna conscious stuff. But during the whole time, they never did anything together. So they were a very close family. But, you know, one would be, do things with the ladies doing, making garlands for the deities. Someone else would go out and help with, you know, organizing and setting up things for the festival. Others would go and help in the kitchen. Others would go do, it's just whatever they as individuals like to do. So you have to see is that how much of that individuality is there in your area there amongst the people you're working with. Right? The more the individuality, the more wide range of programs you can have. The less the individuality, then the more you have to have things that everyone kind of does things, you know, exactly together. Does that make sense? So that you know the people there and what they're cool with. But rather than, you know, you're supposed to do this, it should be this is what's being offered and what these are the benefits. Does that make sense? Like yesterday, I was speaking really strongly. That's on the point that we have to understand pure devotional service is actually the actual goal. That has to be understood. All other things have to be seen in that context. What individual details people are involved, what degree in this and that, that's going to be very much individual. But understanding that pure devotion is what's being offered by Lord Chaitanya, that should be very clear. It shouldn't be muddled by modern, you know, social, political, economic, philosophies. Does that make sense? But in application, it's very much up to the individual how you can engage them to what degree. And then you'll see is because it is so personalized, people will very much appreciate that and get involved as much as they can. It's better that they're involved a little bit nicely than not at all. Like if someone knows I can come and spend 3 hours, you know, once a week and get into it like that, then they'll do it. But if they come for that 3 hours and, you know, and they feel that there's pressure, no, you have to stay all the time, then they won't come around. Right? Yeah, because Krishna consciousness is voluntary. That doesn't mean it's not important. It's voluntary because we've chosen to not be with Krishna. So when we use our independence to go back towards Krishna, then that's nice. But you see, Krishna reciprocates as you surrender. Like Krishna, it had already been, Yudhishthira had already sent his person, I think Satyaki went, to ask about the what's going to happen. they've come back from the exile, and now it's time for Duryodhana to give them back their kingdom. But Duryodhana has already made it clear he's not giving back the kingdom. So to go and just make sure that this is what's happening, try to negotiate. So all this has been done. And then Krishna says, but I want to go, because I'll present everything exactly what's going to happen. But the point is, he says, you know, I, as a person, I always give that free will to the living entities. So now I'll present it, they can take it, or they can reject it. But then it's very clear, this is their thing, not someone else's. Because they were trying to say, oh, if there's war, it's Yudhishthira's fault. If there's a war, it's because Yudhishthira's is pushing the point that we have to give his kingdom back, therefore then there's war. When it's no, you've said you'll give the kingdom back, it's your duty. You're not giving it back, that's why there's war. Because otherwise Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, they were completely convinced that they're into peace. Yudhishthira is the warmonger. But Krishna wanted to make it very clear, no, that's not how it is. And so he gives that free will. Does that make sense? You know, it doesn't mean that there's not discipline, there's not culture, there's all these things, but you have to have that nice balance so that people feel they're getting trained and moving forward. Then it works very strongly. You explain everything. Everything's education. So if someone is coming around in that, you're educating them what's going on, why they're doing these things, why they wear their tilak the way they wear, the neck beads or the chudder the way they wear it, why they do the different things, why they fold it.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you hear us now?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I forgot that, because previously I do this with just from the computer, so I forgot that you have to wear the earphones to hear. So I was wondering, why is nobody saying anything? So.
Yes, so we can continue now.
Okay.
Sankirtan Prabhu, do you have more question or there is some?
Just an additional small point regarding the boys in the ashram and separated arrangement. Till what age should be this till what age should they be separate? Till 14, 15, or 18?
I would say up to 18.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. See, in the Vedic thing, at 16, you're an adult. And so you see, in one sense, they identify that way. But somehow or another, the maturity is not there until they're 18. The idea is just that those below 18 get some more attention. You know, and things are organized for them specifically. That's the advantage. While the bigger ones, they adjust with whatever's there, you know, that you have, because they're older and more mature, so they can understand they need to adjust. But younger than that, you need to kind of like see that they're taken care of. Right? You know, but that's specifically just how they, let's say, they're living or all these other things like that. You know, and there's specific training in that. But as far as services and that, depending on who they are, they can do service with everybody else. You just have to see that it's somebody who is comfortable with people that are younger. Like, you know, like some people can work with people who they themselves are very clever and very smart and have experience, and they tell them what to do and they just do it and then they can work. While others, but they can't tolerate if someone, you have to explain to them, show them what to do, they think they're wasting their time. So you have to just see as those that can kind of help others in doing the service, engage them, then you see that those younger people are involved with them.
And one question a little bit connected with the previous discussion. Smaller children, we had discussion about the punishments and rewards, how this should work, and what is the difference between punishments in the school scenario and family home scenario, between parents and children and between teachers and children.
See, basically, when you're dealing with teachers or dealing with ashrams, it's got to be something that they want to do. So if they don't want to do or be involved, then you can involve the parents in taking care of that. Right? We seem to have a Redmi Note 8T. But 8T is better than the T1000 or 800. They're kind of nasty. Okay. So so because parents, however they're disciplining their children, that, you know, that's their business. The main thing is that if someone's doing something wrong, it's because they don't actually understand why. Not that they haven't been told, but they still don't understand why. So you have to explain to them what's going on, what's actually wrong, why you don't want to do that, what's the result, doing it right, why do we do that, what's the result? So you have to educate them. That's your main point, like that. Does that make sense? So that's generally what you're doing, like that. And then if it's something that someone's making too much trouble and all that, then they can go home. Many times we have that, kids are being too crazy. You call up the parent comes and they either talk at that point or not, and it looks like the kids understood it, then he just stays there at the school. If not, he goes home with the parents. And then comes back the next day or after a few days, and then everything goes well. Does that make sense? Because that's, the parents have taken responsibility for that kind of discipline. Previously, in your Vedic systems, then it would be that within a, let's say, a village or something, anybody who's elder and trained and all that would be accepted as an authority. And so then you'd have let's say there's one person happens to be walking by and the kids are doing something crazy. They could stop, tell them, don't do that, and this is what you should do. And the kids would listen and the parents would be comfortable with that. So you have to see what kind of community you have. I've seen also where the person tells the kids don't do like that, and then the parent comes up, why are you talking to my kid? It's not your business to talk to your kid, my kid. And when you have people like that, you just send them home. You know, like that. That's the thing, you know. In other words, what is the level of interaction, that maturity, that respect, that training, then that you have to work at. Because the point is you're trying to accomplish something. Right? Means we have secondary rules, but there's a thing that you're trying to accomplish. So you have to see what's getting it accomplished. Not that it should be like this, but it's not like that. That's the meaning of circumstance. The individuals involved aren't like that, so that's the circumstance. They are like that, very disciplined and all that. Then you can deal in one way, but they're not so disciplined, you have to deal in another way. You know, and before what we were saying about what local mentalities and that, that's the place. Right? Because you have the place or the country, you have the time, and you have the, the candidates. So you have to judge those. That's the meaning of time, place, circumstance. It's about how the people that you're working with in the environment that you're working in and the particular time that it is. Right? Some people interpret time, place, circumstance, oh, it's just this thing, so we can do nothing about it. Oh, you know, it's like everything's changed, it's Kali Yuga, you can't do all these Vedic things and all that. But that's not what time, place, circumstance means. It means according to the audience you're working with, you know, in the environment you're working with. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so then you judge and see how it works there. You know? So like that, you have to see, especially when you're dealing with them below 18. You know, parents should be into it. you know, communities comfortable, you know, all these things, the people involved, the younger boys, they appreciate that person. They can engage them. You know, the community is comfortable with it. You know, you have to see all these things because, you know, does that make sense? So the point is, you're trying to accomplish something. That's the position. See means you see what your goal is, you see the situations that you're in, and then you try to see how to work on the situation you're in to get it to that goal. Don't be focused on, oh, the situation should be like this or should be like that. Work with what you have. And you can also work to try to bring it to so it is like how it should be. But the point is you can't work with something how it should be in an environment that's not like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say you come into the kitchen and you're going to cook for the Sunday program. So you're cooking for 100 people, but you only have rice, let's say, for 20 people. You can't say as no, but I told them yesterday to get the right amount of rice and that, and they didn't do it. So this is what we got. This is what we're going to cook. And, you know, once the rice is there, then I'm going to serve it, and I'm going to do one of those Jesus things. You know, I'm just going to keep serving from there. And, you know, why 100? 500 can come. No problem. Like that, you know. Or talk to Draupadi if you can borrow her plate, you know. You know, you have to see what you actually have. So therefore, then either cook something else or go out and buy more rice, you know. So you can't get stuck on this is what the rule is supposed to be. You know, we're talking about a detail here. We're not talking about, you know, being Krishna conscious or something. Talking about this is the rule, and so this is the way we're going to deal when you don't have that environment. You know, it's just like, I remember one devotee, they were traveling, you know, on the highway, like that, going from, some long distance, and you know, you stop and there's petrol stations and that and things. So they would get out, they would go use the bathroom, come out, take off their shoes and socks, wash their feet with water, then put on their shoes and socks, then go back. You don't have to do that stuff. You're out there, your karmas, you're wearing your shoes. You're going to wear your shoes in the car. If you were in barefoot in the car, okay, then you could consider that. But no, you're wearing the shoes. So you just do what you do. And then when you get to the temple, that's where you take your shoes off, go wash your feet and keep your feet clean. Does that make sense? So some will take it, oh, because we don't wash our feet when we go into the bathroom in the petrol station. Therefore, I don't have to wash at home. Or because I wash at home, I should be washing in the petrol station. No, it's that you work it out what's there. Right? Because the point is to be Krishna conscious, to be as clean as possible. So on the road, you can only be so clean. Once you get to your destination, now you can be up to the standard. So that ability to be able to adjust with that takes maturity. That's the kind of things that's what's learned by the others in the ashram. Right? Because otherwise the tendency, you know, on the material platform is to be either too liberal or too rigid. But the point is, you know, where you can follow the standard, why wouldn't you? And where you can't follow the standard, then you do the best you can. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Varnashram Prabhu, then you have a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai, Hare Krishna.
So my question is, which areas we should to train or educate newcomers, adept for Brahmacharya Ashram? So, elaborate, and it is some priority in these areas what we should to introduce first and second and like this.
It means that you're talking about persons who want to join the ashram.
Yeah. We have some preaching programs, some newcomers come and they are interested in living in the ashram. They want to stay.
But is that living in the ashram means that they want to dedicate their eyes on the ashram, or they want to check out what the ashram life was like and see if they want to make that as a choice?
They want to dedicate, we try to, have some previous education for them, try to explain to them what means living in the ashram, what means Brahmacharya ashram, okay. And after some period they want to dedicate their life.
Okay, but if they've already been in contact with the devotees and all that, then it means you have your standards, like in the ashram, then, you know, everybody has the clothes that they wear, you know, they have their particular grooming habits, you know, and stuff like that. We get up in the morning at this time, we eat at this time, as long as they're comfortable with all that, then they would just start doing that. And then along the line, then, you know, you'd be explaining to them what you're doing and everything like that. Means it just depends. You can have like a formal kind of ashram thing where you have a particular training program. But you also have the thing is that if the brahmacharis that are in the ashram or the people involved in the ashram are just training them as you go. You know, you have to see what you have. Means you might have a person who's specifically overseeing to see that everything's going well for them. So therefore, the training for them is going well, that they're learning, that they're being explained everything. So you don't take it. You can't just take it that they just come in and start doing what everybody else is doing. But someone has to be telling them why they're doing that. You know, so you're going to have somebody who's going to see that that gets done. You know, and now if all that's been explained beforehand, and so then they come into the ashram, then they just continue and do their service, then that's nice. Then the main training would be, let's say, like having a regular class just for them that goes through the basics of Krishna consciousness and that. You know, let's say like, going through nectar devotion or, you know, something, or particular topics that you want them to know, particularly the philosophy of the culture, you know, any questions they might have, you can have something like that. So the others are doing more, let's say everybody else is doing 8 hours of service and all that during the day. They might be doing, you know, given an hour and a half or, you know, whatever it is or so, to you know, something that you can specifically train them in why they're doing this different things in the philosophy and how to deal with it and any questions that might come up from them in their life and stuff like that. Does that make sense? And then once that kind of gone through and they're stable, then they just go into like, then they just continue like everybody else doing, you know, they don't have that class. Or they might start teaching that class to newer people that are coming, or, you know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, my question is also, because we already discussed with devotees, create some curriculum for Brahmachari ashram. And
yeah. If you have and all that, because Sri Prabhupada wanted devotees to be studying his books. And that meant outside of the classes, you know, outside of the morning and evening Bhagavatam or Gita class. Like I remember in, I think it was Zurich, you know, this would have been back in the 90s when Zurich was, you know, generally always one of the top temples for book distribution, right? And so then I think one day Harikesh Maharaji asked them if they were reading. I think somebody probably asked a question or something. Or like that, and he can understand, why don't they know this? So he asked him, are you reading regularly Prabhupada's books? They said no, you know, because they were too busy doing book distribution. So they used to go out at 10 in the morning, come back at 6 in the evening, right? You know, we have to remember this is Switzerland, so as close to a clock as you can get, the better, right? And so then then he said, okay, then instead of going out at 10, from 10 to 12, you study the books, everybody will read. And then from 12 to 6, then you go out and distribute books. And so they did that, and they distributed as much or if more books in 6 hours than they did before in 8, because now they are more convinced about the content of the books and why it's important that people buy the books. So having time that they all study. So some may be studying a new you know, beginning curriculum so that they're familiar with all the basics of Krishna consciousness, and others could be studying things like, you know, the Bhakti Shastri or other things like that. You know, or if you don't have something organized, just that they should be reading, not sleeping, reading. You know, you just have to see what's there, so that there is extra reading, training, and all that. That's always going to be good. Brahmachari means the student. So it's always a good thing. You just have to see that there's a balance, that they're studying and all that, but they also then, you have to see that they are practically applying themselves in service. So someone wouldn't just be studying all day and that's all and not doing some practical service. They won't be able to digest. You know, as we discussed yesterday about manana, means the first stage is you hear, that's to remove doubts. The second stage is now you apply it to get an understanding. Right? That leads you to the third position where you realize it. So without practically applying it, you won't either understand it or realize it. Does that make sense? Yeah, and then yeah. So if you have a curriculum, the things like that, then that's nice. Why not? It's always good. You know, you see the basic thing is everybody should be studying these books, the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar, Devotion, Ishupanishad, Upadeshamrita, like that. They should be studying Bhagavatam, they should be studying Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, and like that, then you can see that some kind of organized study is going on, either individual or as groups or having some kind of official class situation or, you know, whatever it is. But it should be something dynamic that the brahmacharis involved are inspired. You know? And in the discussions, it should be how this applies in their life, how that applies in others' lives, what's the benefits, what you have to be careful of, you know, all the, you know, what to do, what not to do. It shouldn't be that. It means if you're taking every shloka of Bhagavatam or Gita or Nectar Devotion and that and turning it into how this applies to book distribution, and therefore the main thing is to do book distribution. And so if you do book distribution, you're already doing the purpose of studying the books, so there's no need to study the books. Avoid that one. It didn't work for the North European zone at all. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, it's not a good system because it wasn't Prabhupada's system. Like you see, Zurich, they're still distributing books. The same people are still there. But those zones that took it, no, you just have, the only reason to read the books is so you're convinced to go out and preach. Okay, and why are you preaching? To make other people that they'll go out and distribute books.
I'm ever so sorry that seems Marge is frozen again. The internet doesn't seem to be holding up too well for us today. Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you hear us now?
Yes.
Okay.
It means the current just went off again, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The guys at the power station have to do something to make it look like they should be paid.
Varnasham Prabhu is okay this answer, or you want to discuss more?
I have one more question. Sometimes ago I hear from Maharaj that according to Manu Samhita is 5 areas which brahmacharis should be trained. And truly spoken, I don't I don't have much clear idea how to carry out in training for our bhaktas.
Well, you have the aspect that these are just things that are regularly discussed or pointed out. It means the first one is there must be training in being respectful, because you have to. If you don't have respect, then how are you going to learn anything? How will you work with anybody? How will you deal with anything? If you don't respect something, you can't work with it. Just like, let's say you have a good craftsman. He has respect for his tools. That's why the tools are always properly maintained. You know, so he has a respect for his work, so he does it very nicely. Right? You know, so if you don't have respect, you can't even do anything properly. You can't work with people, you can't work with things. You know, because unfortunately, even though that's what we would like, we're not the center of the cosmos. Krishna is. You know, I mean, according to our idea, it should be us, but unfortunately it's not. And so therefore you have to learn respect. Right? Second thing is it has to be understood that authority is Shastra. The Veda is the authority, not something else. And so everything else has its authority in as much as it's in pursuance of the Vedic version. So you can't say, well, Bhagavad Gita says this, but the Karmis say this, then there's always going to be a problem. So even you say, okay, we get rid of Gita. Now the Karmis say this, but this Karmis says this, and that one says that. Okay, get rid of this one. But then within this, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, there's no two people. You get identical twins, they're not going to agree, you know. So that's going to be the problem, is that is you have to accept that the Veda, Shastra, right? Guru is the father, Shastra is the mother. And so therefore, that's how then you're, so you're nourished through the teachings of the scriptures, right? Then the third thing is that therefore they should have, they should be willing to study and learn. You know, some can do more, some less, but they should be willing to learn, even if they're not technically studying a book, but they should be willing to learn more than what they already know. So even if they're doing something, you can train them how to do it better. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that'll be the third thing. The fourth thing is that they should have a service attitude. They're willing to serve. Right? And then the next thing is that then they do serve. Not just they're willing to, they do serve. Because you may have people who are willing but don't. People who are serving but actually would rather not. So they should like to serve and they do serve. Right? Then the fifth one is going to be, as a brahmachari, then they control their senses. It means everybody, all devotees control the senses, but brahmachari is very specific. Right? And then the sixth thing is that they, you know, dress, behave, speak, that's appropriate for who they are in the situation they're in. Does that make sense? So they learn to do that. Then they can adjust in any situation. It means they have respect. So then therefore now they can actually be aware of things around them and their value. They base how they're going to work with everything around them based on the scriptures. Right? That they're willing to learn the scriptures. They're willing to apply that in practical service. They do apply it in practical service. They control the senses so that they're not distracted. And according to the situations they're in and their position, they're able to adjust so that they behave properly wherever they are. That's brahmachari training. So you see, within that, it includes the scriptures, you know, but it includes having respect for others, how they deal, you know. So in that, naturally, because they have that attitude of service, then the humility will come. You know, being able to they control the senses so then they can stay focused. They can adjust with the time, place, the circumstances that they're in and how they should act. That's going to be very practical. So you see is that any problems that come up is because, you know, one of these six or any combination is not being applied. And you can say, okay, that's for brahmacharis, but the point is the training in brahmacharya, that's everybody's trained in that. Does that make sense? And so then accordingly, then that's the grihastha ashram is founded on that. Vanaprastha, sannyas, it's all founded on that. That's why you can go from a brahmachari to vanaprastha and sannyas and without grihastha. Or you can go from brahmachari to grihastha. Because the foundation is the same for all four ashrams. What a brahmachari does, it's the same thing that is going to be there, just more mature. As a brahmachari, then you have people, you know, authorities that are guiding you what to do on basically a day-to-day basis. Grihastha ashram, then the temple commander comes home with you and tells you what to do. You know, so it's more of a private, personal direction, you know, like that. You're responsible to see that you get done what you get done, right? Then vanaprastha, then there's more maturity there. So now there's no need to get distracted as much by developing the household and expanding the household as just maintaining only how much is necessary and using the balanced time to be engaged in more direct activities of devotional service. And then sannyas means you're not connected with those things previously. But it's all based on those same six aspects. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, so then in that respect, then has the aspect of being aware of others and being aware of others' needs. You know, then there'll be a good brahmachari. You know, the one that comes in at night, you know, kind of comes in late because he was chanting because he didn't get it done during the day, flicks on all the lights in the brahmachari ashram, then goes over to his spot, gets out all those plastic bags, but he specifically plastic bags that make the most noise when you open them and close them and all that. And then, you know, then leaves the lights on, then goes off to the bathroom and all that, comes back, getting this thing around, opening his, rustling his bags again, and then finally going to sleep. That guy may not make it as a brahmachari, because he's unaware of everybody else. He may not get married because he's also unaware that there's such a thing as women, but he's not technically going to be a solid brahmachari until he's aware of others. Yeah. You know, and learns to get, you know, plastic bags that don't rustle, or, you know, or even puts them in something else, like in cloth, or does not turn on the light. You know, or get your rounds done in the morning so you can go to bed on time. But they may start from there, but they have to be made aware of the position, and as they mature, then they'll stop doing those things. You know what I'm saying? You know, when they're fighting over, you know, some particular social thing, but how is it based on Shastra? How is it based on what Prabhupada said? Because I remember before, you could have two brahmacharis having this big argument over something, and then a third brahmachari comes along and says, yeah, but Prabhupada says this. And that was it. The conversation, the argument was over. But nowadays, as you come in and say, well, Prabhupada says this. Yeah, but you know, that's for a certain situation, but in another situation, and then they just keep on arguing. That means they don't understand the second thing, that Shastra is the authority. They think their logic is the authority. They think scientists are the authority. They think academics are the authority. Political leaders are the authority. You know, what is it? You know, Shay Shivago or whatever his name is an authority. You know, like that. Or Tolstoy or, you know, something. They just have this idea or whatever it is. You know? So that, you know, it's anything but Shastra. Oh, but Shastra says this and it says that is confusing. Therefore, we're just going to go with modern stuff. No, that's what you should be. That therefore, then here, remove your doubts, because you have to be convinced that it has to be based on Shastra. Does that make sense? willing to study, willing to learn. No, you know, this is what we used to do before back in the, you know, at this time. And, you know, in Prabhupada's here, we did this and all this and that. So what is all this stuff that you're doing now? But Prabhupada talks about it in the purport. You know, he says, you know, this is how it should be done. No, but we never did that when Prabhupada was here. Yeah, but that was 11 years. And the reason it wasn't done is because you didn't learn it. Because, yeah, have you ever had, I don't know if you've ever had, it's a very interesting thing. If you listen to the archives of Prabhupada's lectures, his classes. So when you start in 66, he's talking Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. He's talking Ichakriya Jnana Shaktis. He's talking about all these technical points in philosophy. You see it 66 especially there, 66, 68, you see him referring to it. But once he gets more into later in the 70s, then he just sticks to English. So he wanted to teach all these things. No one wants to learn them. So you teach what you can. Then after that, it's just you're not this body. Well, before he mentioned you're not the body, and then got into the finer points of the philosophy. But later on, they just wouldn't give up that we're Americans. No, you're not the body. Yeah, of course, I'm not this body, but I'm an American, I'm not this body. You know, so like that. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, Prabhupada is trying to teach all this. And then how much you can teach different individuals, he taught more details. Other ones not, like Bhakti Churumars, he talked so much on the cooking. You know, he told different people, do different things. You know, so like that, then it's there. But it's if it's in the books, then that's what you base things on. You know? So that thing, and you're willing to learn that, then you can move forward. There's less problems. You're willing to serve. How many is like, oh, what do you mean? I do 2 hours in a day, you know, like that. It's so much and that. How are we supposed to live our life? Well, if you were a karmi, you'd be working 8 hours a day and you would have, going to work and coming back. So that's like 10 hours a day. And you're complaining about 2 hours? You know? Or, you know, it's rare, but you have the guy who talks about, yeah, you know, we did this and we did that and so many things. Do something. No, we'll just have meetings and we'll discuss everything. And then that, because we discussed it in a meeting, it's already done, right? Because we're satya sankalpa. Satya sankalpa. Right? They never learned about Ramses, right? So Ramses said, let it be written, let it be done. But they have an idea, no, just let it be written, and because we wrote it, it's done. Right? Okay. Then control the senses. No, we're not fanatic. We just do whatever and this and that. And no, know what the standard is. Come as close as possible. You know what I'm saying? It's not a matter of false ego. It's not a matter of social status. It's a matter of this is the standard. You do at the best you can. And you choose a position that matches what you're doing.
Sorry, everybody. It seems to be a particularly bad day for this. Many times we get no interruptions or sometimes just the one, but today it seems to be repeated. Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Jai. So you're getting lots of, holidays this time, right? So everyone must be refreshed now after the last break.
Yes.
Yes.
No, Maharaj, you will continue.
So we see is these things have an effect. It's not just the brahmacharis. But it has effect on your community, right? And so then in the last one is that according to your position and everything, then you engage yourself appropriately, how you behave, how you dress and everything. That is according to, as we said, based on Shastra. Because otherwise, if that's not appreciated, then we see is that people, due to their own attachments, then they'll try to adjust the standards of the Shastra. Right? It's one thing is the Shastras give a variety of ways, means you have a principle, and then you have the best way to apply that, and then you have alternatives like this, and it keeps going down. So people will take it that I don't like this line of think, I want to do whatever I want to do. You know, that 1960s song, you know, do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be, go wherever, you know, that one. So then by that mentality, they know that that means I'm attached, I'm not very advanced. But due to false ego, I want to be advanced. I've been around a while. I want to be respected for that. I want to be on the same platform as someone who is following all those Vedic things. Therefore, I'll make up my own philosophy. Right? And so then, not based on Shastra, they'll try to say, you know, I mean, they'll say it's based on Shastra. Oh, but it's time, place, and, you know, the country and all this and that. So we're in the West, so these things don't apply. Those are all Indian things for India itself. When Prabhupada points out, no, Krishna, what he's speaking is for everybody. And so therefore you try to do you understand the principle and you come as close as possible. But here the principle is being thrown out. And then it will, if it's accepted, if it becomes standard, then you'll see is just as Christianity, because Christians meant they followed Judaism, right? They just followed Christ as their main guru. But they were Jews. But then you see it came that, no, we don't have to be Jews. In fact, we don't like Judaism. We don't like any of the ancient customs. We like to use all the modern contemporary customs. And in fact, anybody who does follow the ancient is actually an enemy. And therefore, you see, it's famous. Christianity means the Catholics and the Protestants, of course, there's fights there. But when that's not going on, it was always between the Christians and the Jews. And the Jews are the problem of everything. And so they would put all their effort on that. It's just, that's the way the modes of nature work. So if you throw out these things that are based on Shastra for your own whim, for your own attachment, to make yourself look good, that you're just as vast as anybody else, but that's impersonal philosophy. Is there no distinction? Can't you tell the difference? Right? So Prabhupada points out that what you do in one country, you may not do in another. But at the same time, is therefore, then, like you see, in India, the brahmacharis would wear white until they got second initiation. But in the West, as soon as you joined the temple, you wore saffron. Because then you'd identify with the saffron, and I'm a brahmachari, and then you try to be a brahmachari. But the other, because they know the meaning of brahmacharya, and knowing the meaning of saffron, there was a respect for it. Therefore, they wore white until they came to maturity that they could be a good brahmachari. But in the West, you didn't do that. You just immediately put them in saffron. You know? Like in India, you could run mutts, but in the West, there was only temples. Right, temples means grihasthas are living in the temple. Mat means only brahmacharis and sannyasis. So you see that it wasn't that and if you do want to wear karmi clothes, he had them wear suits and ties. You can see pictures, those early pictures in the 60s of Prabhupada with devotees in karmi clothes. They're in suits. And you have to remember those guys a few years before, it was a good chance they were hippies. They never wore a suit, you know? So he was strict. They shaved the head. They did all the different things. So these are just standard things that what people do in the universe. But people try to make, oh, that's Indian, but we're Westerner. We're different. Okay, you're a Malecha Yavana. Malecha means I oppose the Vedas, and Yavana means I'm a meat eater. I kill anything that I want and eat anything I want. So is that our identity? When we say we're Westerners, how does that work? especially when Prabhupada said the Europeans are the white Europeans, those are Kshatriyas that escaped from India when Parasaram was moving around, so they escaped. So no, before what Bharat meant the whole planet was following Vedic culture, and Prabhupada said that meant also in the Americas, they were following. Right? I mean, I'm not sure what year it was, maybe in the 90s. One big Vastu Shastra guy, Stapati, he makes deities and everything like that. He was invited to a conference in Mexico. And from there, he went down in southern part of Mexico, you have where the Mayans lived. And he went and looked at all their architecture and everything. He says it's exactly according to Vastu Shastra. So before, the whole world used to do this. And then they forget. Just because they forgot doesn't mean they can't do it. If you're human, you can follow these things. Right? Otherwise, if that's the thing, okay, you're from European descent, you should only be in Europe. And you should follow the European, why you're in America. That's for the, the American natives. That's for them. Why you're there. So all these things is because this idea of time, place, and circumstance, they want to base it on their false ego, and they don't want to base it on Shastra. They don't have respect for these things. They're not willing to learn these things. And so you get a whole movement of this kind of mentality. So it's always been there. It's just that some people are clever enough to formalize it into a regulation. Like impersonalism's always been there, and then Shankara or then organizes it. Does that make sense? So these things have implications on everybody's life. It's not just brahmacharis. And you notice in here, there's no part of the training is not how to spit on ladies. Right? Because the first thing is respect. So that means if women are mother, then you have to respect them. You know what I'm saying? So this training where they're just tough and this and that and we don't care and, we don't wash our van and we smell like pigs and like that, that's not brahmacharya. Because, that was the cleanliness. That's one of the things, cleanliness. Brahmacharya is clean. That's why he's simple, because otherwise brahmacharyas won't take care of anything. So the less they have, they can keep it clean. So if you don't have cleanliness, it won't work. Does that make sense? So these are building blocks of the society. And because of our conditioning, it's very useful to assist us in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's brahmachari training. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, there is the one question from Mataji Pawani.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to ask, as a mother and teacher at the same time, if there is... I've got a 7-year-old boy, and it's very different to be in the classroom and at home. And if there is something, what should I be careful about, or what should I avoid of doing these two things at once?
Basically, is that you mean that the children should feel that you care about all of them, not just your own child. So then, if you're taking care of everybody, then it works nicely. And if you find that your own child, there's certain difficulties in the class, or they need attention, or this or that, then, you know, just like we saw before, that when Matajisi's there, the daughter comes in, you know, checks out what's going on, then comes up behind, the subtle hints, you know, putting her hands on the shoulders, like that, and, you know, then starts getting upset. And all she had to do was just sit her on the lap and just continue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give any more attention than that. Or, you know, you just have to see what works for the situation. But if there's anything beyond that's a distraction in the class, yeah, because they're trying to interact as mother and son, then discuss all these things when you're not in the class environment. You know, what to do, this and that, why you're doing. And then you do the best you can within it. Because for little kids, they know you're the mother, and so if he takes some extra attention from you, they understand that as long as when they need attention, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's understood when their mom comes, they're going to get that attention from her.
Mm-hmm.
So kids don't have a problem with that people have relationships. It's that when you grow up in bad association and you become an adult, then you think that relationships are not so important or are secondary, or the career is the most important, or, you know, being effective in your work is the most important thing, and, you know, the relationships are for those who are not so serious, and kids don't have those problems. So you give how much is necessary to work, but you give that attention to everybody. But sometimes he gives a little bit more attention for that, but at the same time, don't lose everybody else. You just have to balance it. You know, these are the advantages of the multitasking ability of women. You just figure out how to do it. Is that okay? You have to turn on your mic if you want to say something. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. That will help. And I had another question. If a teacher is wrong, how to show the people, or how to show the pupils, or how to show the children that it's normal that the teacher doesn't know everything, you know?
You just explain. It means just as they're a student learning from you, yeah, you're a student learning from your teachers.
Okay. So I can explain.
So, but at the same time, you're the teacher, because you will apply yourself to figure out, you know, what it's supposed to be. So if it finds out that was wrong, then okay, now we know that this is, and so now we're going to work on this. So it's going to be, it's not so much of a matter of opinion, it's a matter of, you know, what is the actual situation, you know, and mm-hmm. that you judge that based also back on, like we said, on Shastra,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, okay. What's the tradition? How does Prabhupada say to do things like that? Mm-hmm. What was Prabhupada's example? You know, that someone's wrong and they can figure that out and then move on from that. People don't have a problem with that. What people have a problem is someone's wrong and they won't adjust. And they'll keep going down that path because they're being the authority. They can't be seen as wrong. People don't appreciate that. That makes sense?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, what is the right attitude of us adults if we find out that, you know, our someone senior or some authority, we don't feel that something is right?
The point is that you have your service, you have your devotional practice, you absorb yourself in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone being an individual, then sometimes there may be some individuals may have problems.
Yeah.
But this idea is that everybody else has to be perfect, but I can be imperfect, and everybody has to accept my imperfections, but I'll not tolerate one fault in anybody else, otherwise they can't be an authority. You know, so this is a weakness. You know, it's basically the material world works on this principle. You know, like that. That's how people function, which is a problem. But especially if they have something to be proud about, their education, their experience, you know, their age or whatever it is, then they you have to be careful not to fall into that kind of situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why then there's the element of being humble. Means it doesn't mean if they're saying something wrong, you have to do it. But it doesn't mean because they're saying something wrong that you're not still proper in your dealings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because something's going wrong in their life, how does that affect you? Let's say you have an authority and they're having a problem, let's say in the family, how does that affect you in doing your service for whatever you're doing? Mm-hmm. Right? We make it that, oh, if that's there, how can I do my service? It has nothing to do with you. We understand? You have your service, you're doing your service, you have the directions, you know what to do. What does it matter if the other person's doing well or not?
And what about if it's, for example, if it's your husband?
Then you have to be clever. You know, in other words, in nice ways, try to see if you can get this and that. But otherwise, then if it's something, it means if it's something that's totally you can't be involved in, that's another thing. But otherwise, if there's any fault in it, the reaction goes to him. You know, all this talk about equality between men and women in the Vedic system, it's not equal. How is it not equal? The husband does something wrong, no bad results go to the wife. The wife does something wrong, the bad results go to the husband. I mean, that's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good deal.
Yeah, means the husband, if he thinks of Krishna at the time of death, he goes back to Godhead. The wife can think of Krishna directly or think of that husband who's gone back to Godhead. Even if she's just thinking out of attachment, she'll go back to Godhead. Really good deal. So it's actually balanced in favor of the ladies, but whatever it is, but it's not, you don't talk about it too much. You don't want anyone to become proud. So you do the best you can. That's all. You know, because that cooperation, making things work, that's always better, especially if there's children. Is that all right? Okay. Hare Krishna.
I think that time is over.
Oh, it is.
Unfortunately.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
It depends. I don't know. Maybe we can continue. It's nice.
Oh, no. Yeah. But, so basically, is then you also, if there's any further questions, you collect those and then we'll continue tomorrow.
Yeah, I will you know, tomorrow.
Yeah, or if there's any specific things that you know that you all feel we should discuss or whatever it is, you know, if it's not somebody's, it means if it's covered in the questions, then fine. If there's something that devotees would want to hear about, then, you know, any of those things. So then tomorrow, then we can be involved in that.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Yes. Jai Ho. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Nitai. Hari
Bhav. Namaste Vidya Purna Maharaja
Ki. Jai.
Hari Bhav. Hari Bhav.